She Did It Her Way podcast, episode 141, How to Differentiate Employee versus Entrepreneur Mindset with Bridget Mayer.
Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, a collective of interviews with top female entrepreneurs from around the globe who have done it their way. These women are disruptors, savvy, courageous, confident, innovative, decisive, unconventional, and humble. Our ladies have proven business models, have taken risks, and have failed only for success to follow. Join us as they share their stories, behaviors, habits, mindset, thought processes, and what it is like to be a woman who means business. And now, here's your host, Amanda Bolin.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to another She Did It Her Way podcast episode. So excited, and thank you guys so much for tuning in. And I love connecting with you all, whether it's through Instagram or Facebook or even Twitter as well. It just makes my soul smile. Thank you guys so much. Today's episode was actually, every episode is really fun for me, but today it was in an industry that I know absolutely very little about, and it is in all about the art industry and building a business in the art industry. But a lot of the things that Bridget shares with us are transferable to any industry. And so some of the things that we talk about is know how to see the potential in yourself to be an entrepreneur, which is so important, especially because entrepreneurship is, it makes a person extremely vulnerable and you become so self-aware. And I think as women, we are more in tune with the thoughts and we hear that internal dialogue. So it's important that we see the potential in ourselves to be an entrepreneur, and then also differentiate between an employee and an entrepreneur mindset. Completely different mindsets. And as we move from not only just doing our craft, but running a business, it takes a different mindset. And Bridget shares with us how she is able to differentiate between those two different mindsets, along with so much more. Make sure you guys tune in to how to differentiate employee versus entrepreneur mindset with Bridget Mayer. All right, fancy She Did It Her Way followers and listeners and family, I am welcoming on Bridget Mayer, who is the founder of Bridget Mayer Gallery, amongst a few other things. And she's also an author. And I'm excited to have her today because she is in, like I said, the gallery in arts. And I think this might be our second or third lady guest that is coming on and talking to us about the art industry and what it's all about and how to become and be an entrepreneur in that industry. So I'm super excited, but I'm going to turn it over to Bridget and she will finish introducing herself, and then we'll talk about her journey and how she got there. So welcome, Bridget.
Thank you so much, Amanda, for having me on your program. And I'm excited to share a conversation with you. And I've been working in the art world on my own with my own businesses since 2001. So the past 16 years. And I run and operate an art gallery based in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It's been open now 16 years. Last year, I actually turned the program into a private, by appointment only, gallery space. And yeah, so mainly so I could move around a little bit more freely with projects and working with my artists in other states. And I expanded my business to the West Coast and opened an art advisory office outside of Los Angeles. I have a lot of clients on the West Coast and, again, wanted to keep expanding my business practice and what was possible for me and the artists that I represent. So, yeah, I've done exhibitions. I curate projects and art related shows. I sell art primarily. That's my main job. And I work with private collectors, people that are just starting to think about art collecting, who might not have bought any art or any significant art just yet. So I help them navigate that. I've worked with museums on acquisitions, and I also do quite a bit of corporate art consulting where a company will hire me to come in and help them with their art collection, and sometimes creating an important legacy type art collection that's of great value. And then recently I've been operating in the public art realm and working with developers, and I've done two projects in the city of Philadelphia around public art, and I'm doing that in other cities now. So that's a little bit about some of the things that I do in the art world. And then recently, as you mentioned, I just came out with a book that was published in October called The Art Cure. And it's a memoir of my life and how I got started in the arts, coming from a very difficult and challenging childhood, and then being adopted at 9 and starting school, and then how I really broke into the art world and started from the ground up and built a multi-million dollar business the past 16 years. So that's a little bit about me.
Awesome. Okay, now take us back to how you got into art and how you built this million-dollar business.
Yeah, great question. I graduated from Bucknell University in 1996. It's a really great college in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania. I studied studio art and art history there. And for 4 years while I was at Bucknell, I worked in the student-run gallery there and worked with the gallery director. And I also did some publicity work in the theater department. And every summer I was doing internships. And I talk about this journey in my book. And I really loved the gallery part of the industry, and I kept gravitating towards gallery work. And I was working for people in New York and in the industry and not getting paid very well to do what I was doing. And after, you know, going through the same cycle for several jobs and several years, I finally took a bigger look at the industry and asked myself the important question of, did I want to be in the industry? And I knew I did. And I also knew I wanted to be in the gallery part of it. And then I said, well, who is actually making any money in my industry? And I started analyzing that and looking at the art dealers and the artists that were doing well. So I was kind of in this mode of analyzing. And then a few things happened at that time. And this was in early 2000. The gallery that I was working at in Philadelphia was only paying me for part-time work, so I had to seek out other employment. I started curating and selling art, and it became an issue for them because they didn't want to have me in the industry doing that and also working with them, and it became a little bit of a conflict. So we parted ways, and I knew at that point I had to open my own business. And I happened to, at the time, decide to read a book called The E-Myth by Michael Gerber.
Oh my gosh, you are the third person to talk about that dang book. And I've picked it up and I got the first chapter and I was like, I can't get into it. And I put it down. And now, again, you're the third person that said that. And I'm like, okay, I probably should read that. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
And it's amazing how that book has touched so many entrepreneurs that have gone on to do things. And so I picked up the book, I read it. And what I realized was that I had been operating as an owner / entrepreneur in every single job experience I had had, including my internship experiences. And that, you know, basically, it was just a defining moment that I realized that I knew a lot about the gallery industry. I knew a lot about the operations of running a business. And it was my time to actually start stepping in that direction. And actually, Michael Gerber is a mentor. He wrote my book forward for me.
Oh, no way.
You know, if you had asked me 16 years ago when I started, if you had said, are you going to write a book and is Michael Gerber going to be the person writing your intro for your book, I would have said, no, that's crazy. And, you know, so many exciting things have happened for me professionally, and it just things that I could never predict. And, you know, part of it was stepping on the path of doing what I truly was being called to do. And so it's been quite a journey for me.
Okay. I'm curious now, going back to when you've done this, what did you learn about those people that you looked up that were making money? What was it that they were doing that was allowing them to bring a sustainable revenue and business?
Sure. Well, the first initial thing that I realized was that, you know, if I was going to continue to be an employee, that my salary would be capped. And however, if I was the owner of the business, I could make as much money as I could possibly make, and the sky was the limit. And once I really got clear that, you know, no, I don't want to be an employee. I'm operating as an owner. And if I am an owner, essentially I can try anything within marketing and promoting artists. And I can really take on running a top-notch gallery business and then get the return financially. So it was more just initially, Amanda, identifying that, and not everyone is meant to be an entrepreneur or a business owner and open a business. And I think it really is a mindset, and it's how you're operating. And so I've met a lot of people that have opened up galleries that have ended up closing them within a year or 5 years because the perception of what the job is and what you actually do might be quite different from the reality of it when you're in the business working on it and actually running it. And then there were a lot of challenges and difficulties getting started. So, I think it was really just saying like, who's making money? And it really, I identified it was the business owners that had the most opportunity, or the world-renowned famous artists who were getting paid, you know, $25,000 to $50,000 for a painting. Man. And so I felt at the time, those are my two options with what my interests were.
Yeah. Okay. When you first decided to open up a gallery, I mean, I have no clue, zero clue of what goes into how to like having a gallery. I mean,
sure. A lot of people don't. It's I'm sure you've been in galleries and museums and you walk in and, the environment is typically a beautiful white box space, and you see these artworks or sculpture, whatever the gallery's showing, perfectly hung. Everything's lit really well. There's a great staff that's sitting there and at the front desk, and it's kind of this mysterious world if you're not in it. And for some people, they think it looks really pretty on the outside, but the you know, the reality is with any business, you have to get people in, you have to have a vision, you have to understand marketing, you have to understand selling, and you have to understand technology and innovation and systems and growth. And that's just in the business. And then there's the greater art market and art world and where your business is going to fit in within that market. And what level and how. And so there's a lot of intricate details that really go into running a great gallery business.
How did you know for when you opened yours, like the type of art that you wanted? And then like, what is the first step? Like doing all, there's some things that take place regardless of whatever industry you're in when you're an entrepreneur going back to sales and marketing and whatnot, and the brick and mortar and the rent and stuff. But trying, like, what's it like trying to find the art pieces, and what does that process look like that you went through?
Sure. That's also a great question. I knew from working in other galleries in New York City and from being in the market and studying artists and going to openings and shows for many, many years, the type of art that I was really drawn to. I knew what I liked and I knew what I didn't like. And, you know, for me, it was if I was going to open my own business, I wanted every aspect of the business to be incredibly authentic, including and most especially the artists that I would be working with, promoting, selling, and really working on their careers with them. So that was really important that the art was authentic to what I truly loved. And that was really contemporary painting at the time, and a lot of abstract painting. I knew that I liked artists that were really into unique processes and making their work. So process for me within the art and the making of it was really important. And I was looking for artists that, you know, not only had a unique process that would, you know, create a finished piece, but that had a very interesting, unique, and personal mission and vision with why they're painting and making their art, and really why they were doing, why they're in the industry to begin with. And, you know, so that could be artists that for me at the time were interested in architecture or science and biology, artists that were really going on a deep exploration of the processes of abstraction and nature and the environment. For some artists, I love more of an urban, almost graffiti type of mark making that might have been tied into a family history. So there are, you know, I think a lot of people, when they start looking at art, they start to identify what they like and what they don't like pretty quickly. And also beauty, for me, was really important. There are a lot of artists out there making art that might feel a little bit negative or political to look at. And I was always drawn to the beauty side of art. And that for me, it's like if you're creating an environment that you're living in or working in, inspiration for me is found through beautiful paintings. And so that was another focus as well.
So, and then talk to us a little bit about how do you, is the revenue stream for an art gallery simply just by getting people in the door and then having them pay to view the art pieces? Is that how it goes?
No, that's more the museum model where you buy a ticket and buy an entrance and then you get to experience an exhibition. Galleries usually run, they're open to the public. You don't pay to come in. And the idea is that the art is hanging there to be sold. And so, you know, I make my money when I sell a painting to a client.
Oh.
The financial structure. And that's really where people, where galleries have the greatest challenge. And that's one, how to get people in, two, how to get them to buy what you're showing. And so that's, you know, something that I spent many years working on.
Right. Because I guess I always envisioned it, like you just said, the museum. And now I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, duh, that makes sense.
But it's a good question because a lot of people don't know that. And there's some people that it's just in a, you might have galleries in a community, but it might not be in their, you know, what they do or what they're interested in. And I've found a lot of times people become interested in art in their 30s and 40s. And I have a lot of busy professional clients that have spent, you know, 10, 15 years building their career and their families. And then all of a sudden they want more culture. They want more of an enriching experience. And so they start getting into art more. So I think it's common that a lot of people don't know what galleries fully are.
So then you, as someone in your position, is it about building the relationships with these individuals and then these artists in hopes to connect your client with the art?
Yes.
Okay.
And you just said it. I mean, if you strip away everything
so cool.
in the business, it's really all about the relationships that you have. It's for me, I've spent a lot of time developing relationships primarily with my artists and having, you know, deep connective relationships with them, because essentially they're my business partners. And then secondly, with my clients, because without clients coming in to support and buy art, there is no business. So it really comes down to the relationships. And then there's the larger relationship that I have within the community of Philadelphia and now multiple communities in California, and building an awareness within a greater community of, you know, for me, who I am, what I'm doing, what my program is, who the artists are, and why people want to support it in the community. So there's also the larger community aspect of my business.
Mm-hmm. That is so cool. I like, I never knew that. I'm like, now I mean, I certainly am not an artist by any means, but that would be a super cool job if someone's studying art and understands it and wants to do like business with it. That would be really fantastic. How did you, what, so you had the gallery first, and then at what point were you, did you open and start your advisory company?
I've been doing art consulting, kind of privately for the last 10 years. And, you know, I didn't want to dilute my gallery program and what I was doing with my gallery. And sometimes, you know, to me, they're almost two separate types of jobs. And I love both. I love doing both. And so, but I wanted to keep them separate. And it kind of started where clients would buy art for their home and they would love it so much that they would call me and say, hey, can you help me with my office, or we're opening a new location. Can you come in and do all the art for us? And so it started really with my clients, and it just kept expanding. So I've been now doing this for 10 years, and a few years ago, I decided to put up all my consulting projects onto a website and formalize it, because I knew I wanted to expand into the California market. So I set up my website, BridgetMayerArtAdvisors.com, and on that site are all the consulting projects that I've done over the years that I'm really excited about, from private residences to corporations to public art. And so it's just something I work on actively.
Mm. So, and then that, when you, people, do they like pay you like a flat rate to come in and like do it? I mean, that is so cool that you. Wow.
It can be a flat rate by the hour. And that's typically how I work with clients on advising you know, when I'm going out and shopping in other galleries or talking to artists inside my program and outside of my program, I get paid through a commission basis when I sell a piece of their art, or when I work with a gallery and sell a piece of art that they're showing. I usually get paid a commission. And so that's how I get paid.
Oh, my gosh. That is so cool. Yes. I like art. I'm so fascinated with it, probably because that is like the least of my strength in any way, shape, or form. And so that is just fantastic. Tell us what inspired you to write your book.
Thank you. Yeah. So, and, you know, I just have to say that now that we're talking about this, you're going to start noticing art more, because it's just interesting how you think about something that you're not normally thinking about. And my guess is that you're going to start noticing galleries and art related stuff, because that's typically what happens. And It's really a fun world to jump into, and like Philadelphia has some wonderful museums and young friends groups and openings. So you can learn a lot and be part of a very interesting community. But you know, I wrote I wrote the book really to share my journey, and the industry that I'm in is not an easy industry to be in for artists or for gallery owners or creative people. So I wanted to talk about my rough childhood, and I was adopted when I was 9, but prior to that I was in and out of foster care and was abandoned by my mother, and went through a lot of physical abuse, and she was a alcoholic and drug addict, and I was adopted and started a new life with a new family, and learned how to read at 7 years old for the first time, and started going to school at that time. And so, you know, to go through college and succeed in that, and then to jump into the art world with zero money and build a multi-million dollar business is not a typical story in my industry. So I wanted to put it out there to share it with entrepreneurs, with women, with artists, with creative people, to hopefully inspire them and give them an example that you can have a challenging life and you can have a dream to do something and work on it and turn it into something and become very successful at it. So I really just wanted to share my story. I'm working on a business book right now, The Business of the Art World. And before I wrote that book, I really wanted people to know about my difficult beginnings in life, because I didn't have family in the art world. I don't come from a wealthy family. I didn't have connections and the things that most people typically have when they start businesses in the art world. So I wanted people to know that really anything is possible for you. So that's the message of the book.
That is, I love it. What was it like writing a book?
You know, it was really tough, because the first half of this book, I talk about really horrific, intense stories that of things that happened to me that I dealt with in my life when I was young. And just to recall the memories and actually write about them, it was intense. You know, I cried a few times, and it's just stuff that I don't really think about anymore, and I haven't. And it took me about 2 years, and it's not a long book. It's a couple hundred pages. It's a very quick read. It's an easy read. I wanted it to be that way. I didn't want a deep, like, huge memoir. I mean, I'm still young anyway. So I'm still writing my story. But, you know, I stopped at one point. I stopped writing the book, which is not like me to stop a project. And I remember I was like, why do I keep dragging this book out? And then a little voice popped in my head that said fear. And I started thinking about it. And I realized that I was afraid to finish it and afraid to put it out into the world. Part of the fear was people judging the story or judging me. But then I realized, you know, my goal with this is much bigger than worrying about who's going to judge or critique the book. And but once I could see it and identify it and talk myself through it, then I could keep going. And then I just did what I do with all my projects. I set a deadline, and I actually made it a really intense deadline, and just to keep the focus and the energy working on it. And I worked on it every day for several months and finished it.
Yeah. I mean, I applaud anyone who's willing to put the time and energy into writing a book. And I think with anyone's book, that is a bit of a their life journey and being so vulnerable. Like, if anyone has comments about it, it really is not about the author. I think it's probably more about the person who's commenting.
Yes.
You know,
that's what
like, yeah. I mean, everyone.
Yeah. It's funny, because someone wrote, I've gotten some really, really nice reviews on Amazon where it's selling. And someone wrote a negative review, and I realized, I'm like, I was a little bit annoyed. And then I realized the person didn't even read the book. So it was an interesting experience of realizing it's not really about me, it's about the person.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I read that review, and at the end of it, this person said, you know, this book is just about pure luck. And if there's anything, is that luck is when preparation and execution meet. So
yes,
it through my lens and my eyes, that like anyone who's saying like, oh, it's just luck. And I tested that. I've had people say that behind my back, that then it's traveled to me. And yeah. I think, like, honestly, if people are spending more time thinking about other people than working on themselves, then there's an issue. Like, I don't wake up thinking or caring. I mean, I care about people, but I don't wake up thinking about someone in like that I follow. It's more about like internally, how can I be a better person? So yeah. I found that anytime people make those comments, it's not about us. It's more about like, you know, them. So
yes, exactly.
But I just had a chuckle at that. Like, people have so much time on their hands to criticize and ridicule other people. I'm like, oh my gosh, let's shift that energy. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly. Yeah.
So, well, awesome. We're going to land. I always say land the plane. I don't know. Now I've been saying that on a few interviews, but a couple of things. One, what is, aside from your book, The Art Cure, obviously, and then The E-Myth, is there any other books that you recommend?
Yeah. So cool story. One of my art patrons and clients is Seth Godin.
No way.
He's amazing. Yeah, he used to buy a lot of art, and I think he's fully collected at this point with his collection. But I got to meet Seth, and I love all of his books. I mean, because I love marketing, I love business, I love learning, and you know, I read a lot. But one of his books that is really amazing is called The Purple Cow.
Oh, yes.
And it's a book about setting yourself apart from whatever it is that you're doing within a particular industry, and deciding, you know, most cows are black and white, most dairy cows anyway, and you know, what would it be like to be in a field of all black and white cows and then see a purple and white cow? And so he really talks about this idea of what you're doing within your business and your marketplace to be a purple cow and to not, you know, essentially be like the rest of the herd. And so I've always loved his messages. The books are beautifully written, and he's an amazing person, and he's inspired a lot of people in business. He's doing some incredible things on the internet right now. So I've always been a huge fan. You can pick up any of his books, but that's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. I have not, that's been recommended, and that's one that I have not read of his. So I will definitely have to put that on the 2017 list. Okay, last question I have is, if your life had a movie title and it can be made up or in existence, what would it be?
Wow, movie title. I'll what pops into my head is another one of my favorite books, which I think would be a great movie title, which is called Awaken the Giant Within.
I love that book. Oh my gosh, it's like a Bible. It's like the size of a Bible, but it is so good.
It's a Bible, and it's amazing. Yeah,
Tony Robbins is so talented. Like, insane. Awesome. Well, Bridget, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really enjoyed our chat, and I'm glad we got to connect and meet and hear about the art industry and just about your journey. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you, Amanda. My pleasure, and great to be on your show.
Yeah, and I will be in touch to let you know all the details and stuff as well.
That sounds wonderful.
Okay, have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much. Okay. You too.
Bye, Bridget. See you.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the She Did It Her Way podcast. Did you like this episode? Head on over to iTunes.com to leave us a rating and a review. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget to check out SheDidItHerWayPodcast.com, where you can subscribe to our email list so you can receive the inside scoop on our latest episode released each Monday. Now, do us a favor and go make it a great week.